Here the author talks about you can disarm sin. Said that at the root of every human calamity is sin. Until the root is destroyed, the tree will keep bearing fruit. To every human question, there's an answer in the Bible. So God made adequate provisions to cover all the problems of life. The sin question is absolute answer with him. Now, he's talking about disarming sin. The first thing he's talking about is the new birth. According to Colossians 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." All right, you know, we one of the things that I looked in this particular chapter, and there are some things that was kind of like still on the line, of the law. But he's talking about the way to disarm sin is through the cross. And that's right. Y'all with me? All right. So he says here, until you become a child of God, there's a death sentence hanging over your head. Your education, your status, your age, and connection is irrelevant. Until you become a child of God, you will die. First John 1 and 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to him them that believe on his name." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So as many as will open up to Jesus and say, "Jesus, have mercy, forgive me," will be up, and sin will loosen its grip instantly. Now, one of the things that, I wanted to really look at, because, when we look at holiness, we've been taught in order to walk holy, you have to do the right thing. Praise the Lord. And so, we just had this thing, we felt like, it's almost like, and I've preached in places, like for instance, they had, at these funerals, they get up and they talk about how God plucked the flower. And, I say, my goodness, I said, "Lord, I know they're not going." And man said, I want you to speak for all the ministers. The man just got up there and said about plucking the flowers. But we've heard all this stuff, how in the world God could be good if he's killing our people? You know what I'm saying? And so it really didn't, I think about it now, and a lot of things that we were saying really didn't even make no sense. Because how in the world could you tell that little child who you just told God took their parent, how can you tell them that God is good? So a whole lot of things that we were saying, living holy, we say, if you do the right thing, then God is pleased. But if you do the wrong thing, then God is displeased. Well, you know, we were preaching the law. And so by doing that, really, people really was getting more entangled in bondage. Because the Bible said that the strength of the law, strength of sin is the law. So if I keep on preaching sin, then it's only going to give them people faith, and it's going to strengthen their sinful activity. Are y'all with me here?
Yes,
now, I want to say a couple of things about holiness. Go to first Chronicles. First Chronicles 16:29. Because how many know it's a beautiful thing when we understand holiness, what it really is. First Chronicles 16:29. So it says in verse 29, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So holiness is a beautiful thing when we really know how to really walk in it in truth. You with me? Now I want to show you here. I want to say a few things before I show you this. So holiness can only be achieved through Jesus Christ and not our works. You with me? Not our works, but through Jesus Christ. And when we behold something, how many know we become what we behold? That's why as a Christian, we know we have to keep on focusing on Jesus, depending on him for our strength. We can't depend on our works. We can't depend on, you know, doing things, our behavior. We can't depend on self-effort. Y'all with me? So, you know, it's a whole mindset change that we have to have. I mean, our whole mindset have to change, because when you've been taught for so long about, you know, the Ten Commandments and you have to live according to the law and that sort of thing and stuff, when you've been taught that for so long, then it's really it takes a mind transformation for you to really be able to live under grace without mixing the law with the grace. The apostle just told us, you know, whenever you mix the two together, then you're canceling out grace. We're canceling out. The Bible says, I think in John 1:17, it talks about how the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Moses gave the law, in which is, in giving the law, it depicts, you know, something that has been given at a distance, but grace and truth came. So grace is a person. It's not a doctrine. Grace is not, a lesson that we learned. Grace is really a person. And then when you study it out, grace and truth is really one and the same. It's a person, grace and truth. It's one and the same. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Then the Bible talks about you shall know the truth, and the truth is the thing that's going to set you free, right? So it's really knowing Christ. It's really understanding the finished work of Christ. It's the thing that really gives us that life. So now, for a long time, I was really trying to get this law thing down pat. You understand what I'm saying? So that you don't put yourself on the side where you're displeasing to God. Well, there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. Now, we've heard about, you know, how we can. There can be a Christian can do the unpardonable sin. I think I mentioned it to you. But how many of you know there ain't no such thing for a Christian? There ain't no such thing as no unpardonable sin. There's no unpardonable sin for a Christian. See, but we have heard it, so it's locked in our mind, yes, and then you know, especially blaspheming, you know, you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, but blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, Jesus was talking over that. He was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees was the one who was blaspheming because the Holy Spirit was trying to show them Jesus right in front of them, and they couldn't even receive him. He said he came to his own didn't even receive him. But as men as received him, to them become the children of God. So really, you become what you behold. That's why we have to, when it comes down to holiness, we have to really behold Jesus. We have to behold Christ. We have to. The Bible says, we looked at it when we were in the apostles class. First John the fourth chapter. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may live boldly in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So see, that's why I have to really see. I really have to see Christ. I really have to behold him, because as he is, so are we in this world. So this is what I see when I look at that particular scripture. All right. Is Christ sick? So as he is, so are we in this world. See, once I get a revelation of him, as he is, so are we in this world. Is Christ broke? As he is, so are we in this world. You understand what I'm saying? Is Christ bound by any kind of habit and thing? No. So as he is, so are we. And see, in order to get this, you really got to get the revelation of grace, because you understand as he is. See, because Jesus, I am not righteous because of my own doing. I'm righteous because of what he did. The Bible said he that knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus didn't do anything to become a sinner. He took on our sin. You understand what I'm saying? He took on all our sin. And so now God is not angry with us. I mean, for a long time, man, I thought, I miss God. You know, God is upset with me. But through grace, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, amen, all the anger that God had, he took it out on Jesus. All the anger that he had according to our sin, he took it out on Christ. That's why Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because for a minute, God had all the anger that he had, everything that he had against the sin of mankind was placed on Jesus. And can I help you in here? All right. Now, because somebody have a question, they say, well, I don't understand how, you know, my sins in my future can be, he can have forgiven me for my sins in the future. The reason why he have forgiven you your sins in the future is because before you even got here, amen, Jesus Christ had already paid the price over 2,000 years ago. How long have you been here? So if he paid for your sins back then, how can you do sin now that he hadn't paid for? So that means that we walk in the newness of life. We reign in life. Not only that, but we as the people of God, grace empowers us to live the way that God wants us to live. So that's why grace empowers us. That's why we have to behold Christ. Are y'all with me? Let me show you something right quick. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm holy not because of my works. I'm holy because of him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just like I took on his righteousness, amen, just like I took on his sanctification, I took on his holiness. I'm holy. Tell somebody, I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm holy. And I don't have to, you don't have to wear no dress dragging the ground. You don't have to wear no veil over your face. You don't have to be without makeup. Are y'all with me here? I went to preach in the church. You understand? And my wife was there with me. And so we walked in, and when we walked in, you know, my wife, she had on the makeup and everything. And the old lady was looking at her like, oh, that's Jezebel. Because the ladies there, they didn't have no makeup on. They had a bunt in the top of their head. They had on Bobby socks. The men dressed down. I mean, they clean, they sharp. I said, why are they doing this to these ladies? And then they're going to bring them to a scripture talking about, you know, that the woman should have her hair braided and all that kind of stuff. And but he was really talking about the heart. He wasn't talking about where a person is on the outside. He was just saying they need to make sure that the inside is right. Yes, right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the only way the inside can be right is through Christ. Yes, right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me see, y'all. Let me see. I want to take you somewhere. So, excuse me. Y'all remember, it's in Numbers. I won't turn there. But, you know, the Israelites, they was complaining to God about those, the snakes. You know, when they was getting bitten by poison snakes. And they was complaining to God about that because people were dying. So, God told Moses, he said, look, I want you to get a serpent and put it on a stick, and when they raise it up, those that behold it, they're going to be healed. So, really, when they beheld it, the Bible says that they lived. Now, how in the world could they? What I'm trying to say to you is that when we behold him, we become as he is. What I mean by that, see, I don't have to walk around with guilt and condemnation. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to walk around, you know, thinking that I have to perform. Because I take on his holiness. I'm holy because of him. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. Turn over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Verse 22. Okay. Now I want you to see the power in beholding Jesus, keeping your focus on him. It says in verse 22, it says, straightway Jesus constrained. Wait a minute. My time is up. Yeah, my time up. But y'all just read that verse and how you know Peter was sinking. How Peter was sinking. Peter was sinking, but when he kept his eyes, Peter wasn't sinking at first. But he said, Jesus told him, he looked out there, he said, Jesus, if that be you, bid me come on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on him, he walked on the water. When he took his eyes off Christ, that's when he started sinking. So that's why we have to keep our eyes on what Christ has done for us at the cross, man. If you keep your eyes on that, that's going to be a power to lift you up and cause you to be able to do things that you wouldn't be able to do in your own power, in your own strength. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I didn't get far into this, but just read chapter 6, and we're going to, we'll go from there to the next class. Praise God. Hallelujah.